Welcome to Ancient Words, the Bible study podcast from Red River Ministries. We invite you to get your Bible and a notebook and join us in this study of the Word of God. If you are not able to follow along in your Bible for some reason, that is okay too. We go verse by verse through the scripture we are studying. It is our hope that this Bible study will encourage you in your walk with the Lord. Now, on to today's study. Hello everyone and welcome back. I invite you to turn in your Bible, if you are able to John chapter 14. We will be looking at verses 7 through 11 in today's study. I want to start by letting you know that these verses, taken incorrectly, can lead to a major heresy. If these verses are not interpreted correctly, then they can make it seem like Jesus is saying that he and the Father are the same person. However, we know that this is not the case. After all, if the Father and the Son were the same person, Jesus would have spent his entire ministry praying to himself. The Father and the Spirit coming to his baptism would not have happened. The transfiguration would not have happened the way it is described in Scripture. And the list goes on and on. We know that the God we serve is one God, eternally manifest in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These three have always been and will always be. They have no beginning and no end. They are not created and cannot be destroyed. They are equal in character, rank, and every other aspect, yet also distinct in their function. So, with all of that in mind, we will turn to today's verses and then have a quick word of prayer. John chapter 14, verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Father God, we thank you for your word. Help us to understand your word by the Holy Spirit who dwells within each one of us. Guide us, teach us, and show us the things you would have us to learn. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now Jesus continues teaching his disciples here in the upper room after they have shared their Passover meal. Now he is telling them about one of the deep mysteries of the connection between God the Father and God the Son. He says, If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. This statement, taken on its own, without any of the other statements that follow, have been used by modalists and Unitarians for centuries to state that there is no such thing as the concept of the Trinity. Now, we know that the word Trinity never appears in the Bible. It was coined by Tertullian to easily identify the concept of the Father, Son, and Spirit persons of God. Tertullian did not invent the Trinity. He only came up with the word that we now use to speak of God when we are speaking of all three persons at the same time. The word Trinity comes from the prefix tri, which signifies the number three, and the word unity, which is defined as the state of being united or joined as a whole, and the state of being joined together or in agreement, according to the Oxford and Cambridge dictionaries, respectively. However, those who do not believe in the concept of the Trinity have used this verse, as well as others, to state that Jesus is saying that he is the same as the Father. But if you look at the statements that follow, you will understand why this is not a true biblical belief and never can be. When Philip asked Jesus to show them the Father, Jesus answered, Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Again, This is not Jesus saying that they are the same person. Look what he says. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? What does this mean? Now, I have heard so many bad explanations of this, it is almost pathetic. So I will do my absolute best not to give one of those. Jesus is saying here that he and the Father are of the same essence. They are the same in their character, in their thoughts, and most importantly, in their objectives. He says, I am in the Father, or in other words, I am of the same essence with the Father, the same character, thoughts, and objectives as the Father. He also says, and the Father is in me, or to put it another way, the Father is of the same essence and has the same character, thoughts, and objectives as me. It was these kinds of statements that got Jesus in trouble with the ruling religious authorities. He would say that he is equal to God, and that is a blasphemous statement under Mosaic law. Of course, when it is Jesus saying that he is equal to God, it is true, and therefore not subject to the law. But the ruling religious authorities did not recognize Jesus as the Messiah. But when Jesus equated himself with God, he spoke what, in their mind, were blasphemies against God. What they did not realize is that Jesus was the only person in the entire history of the world who could say that he is equal to God and not be guilty of blasphemy. That is because he is truly of both fully God and fully man, two natures, perfectly united without confusion, mixture, separation, or division, each nature returning its own attributes. This definition of who Jesus is was spelled out at the Council of Chalcedon in 451 AD. This council met to answer many errors concerning Jesus and his nature as human and divine. It was widely agreed that Jesus was divine, but many rejected that he was also human, as this kind of person had never been experienced before. So the churches came together and agreed that Jesus was both human and divine, and they set forth what is known as the Chalcedonian Creed, which is what I stated earlier regarding the two natures of Jesus. This is known as the hypostatic union, and that's just a religious term, a theological term, to say that Jesus is one person with two distinct natures. While this is as much a mystery to us as the doctrine of the Trinity, we must accept it as true. Otherwise, when Jesus says here that those who know him also know the Father, that would be an incorrect statement. If Jesus is not human and divine, if he is not the God-man, then he cannot state that whoever has seen him has seen the Father also. It is the divine nature of Jesus that upholds his union with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and it is his human nature that maintains his personal connection with us. We could not, in our finite minds and our sinful flesh, approach God. Therefore, it became necessary for the infinite and sinless God to take on flesh. When Jesus was born of Mary, God the Son became flesh. The second person of the triune Godhead was born into our world as a human. Years later, as he is teaching his disciples on the final night of his life, he tells them, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Not because they are the same person coming in different forms, but because they are the same essence manifesting in the three persons. Jesus says, "Believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on the account of the works themselves." Jesus is trying to show the disciples that in every way that they can comprehend that what he is saying is true. However, we all know that there are people who still do not believe. We all know there are people out there who will not look at the evidence right in front of them and still not believe what they are shown. Jesus is dealing with that in his own group of 11 close disciples. He knows that there are still those who do not fully believe, yet even though they have been with him for the past 3 years and seen the things that he has done, heard the things that he has taught, he tells them, if you will not believe what I tell you, at least believe what you have seen. Similar to what he tells the disciples of John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11. In verse 2 of that chapter, he says, Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. John is wanting to know if Jesus is the long-expected Messiah. Jesus did not give a straightforward answer here, however. Rather, he tells John's disciples to go back and tell John what they see and hear that he is teaching and doing. These are the things that were signs of the true Messiah. Over the centuries, there had been many people who claimed to be Messiah, but none of them were. When Jesus came, he was different. He was not a political revolutionary like so many false messiahs before him had been. He did not incite people to fight, riot, or attempt to rise up against the Roman authorities. Instead, he taught people to love God and one another. He fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. And most importantly, he proclaimed the gospel to the poor. It was by these signs that John knew Jesus was the one they had been waiting for all those centuries. It was by these signs that Jesus revealed that he was the Messiah. It was by these signs that Jesus revealed that he was in the Father and the Father in him. There's one thing in verse 10 that we absolutely cannot overlook in all of this. Jesus says, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Throughout Jesus' entire ministry, he continually pointed people to the Father. He always stated that his authority came from the Father, that he only did the things that he saw the Father doing, and that he was here to do the works of the Father. He states here again that even now in his final teaching, he is not speaking on his own authority, but the authority of the Father. He makes it clear that the works he does is only because of the Father working through him. Everything in Jesus' life was done to glorify the Father and to point others to him. From his first recorded teaching in Matthew 5 to his final recorded teaching before his death, here where we are looking today, Jesus continually points to the Father. Now, why does he do this? Because he knows that he is not here in his own authority, but in the authority of the Father. Just as we today are not here in our own authority, but in the authority of Jesus. Today, if you are a follower of Christ, a Christian, or whatever name you put on yourself being a believer, you are here because of the authority that Jesus has imparted to you. Before Jesus ascended back into heaven, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Who gave Jesus that authority? Well, if Jesus came under the authority of the Father, then it is only the Father who could have given him any authority. contrary to popular teaching, we do not have any authority that we can give to Jesus, nor does Satan hold any authority that Jesus must take back. Jesus clearly stated that he has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Not some authority, not partial authority, not a little bit of authority, but all authority has been given to him both in heaven and on earth. This means that our evangelism should be fruitful. Our witnessing should be powerful, and our lives should be pointing others to him and helping them become disciples also. Just as Jesus had a mission when he was here, we have a mission while we are here, and that is to make disciples. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Jesus was given authority so that we can fulfill our mission. He is the one who sent us out. He sent the Holy Spirit to empower us and enable us to be able to fulfill our mission. Therefore, our mission can be fulfilled if we remember who has the authority to help us. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for another study in your word. We thank you for the authority that you have given to Jesus. We thank you for the work that each one of us has to do here, and we pray that you will enable us through the Holy Spirit to fulfill that work. I ask that each person that listens to these words would prosper in their works of making disciples, and that you would draw each one of them closer to you. I ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Ancient Words, a Bible study podcast from Red River Ministries. We would like to invite you to go to our website, www.redriverministries.org, for more information about the ministry. You can find links to our books, blog, store, and many other resources on our website, as well as a link to donate to the ministry. Also, if this podcast is a blessing to you, please leave us a review on whatever app you use to listen to us. This will help others be able to find us in those apps and be a blessing to them as well. Thank you all, and may God bless you.